morning, First Baptist Elon. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've already had a wonderful time of worship outside this morning. A little fog, but it kind of cleared by the time the service was over. And this morning we look forward to gathering in this place to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For those that are joining us via Facebook Live this morning, thank you for joining us with your family and friends for our time of worship this day. And for those that may be listening a little bit later on our website through our CD ministry, we hope you're blessed by the time of worship, the time of singing and praying and scripture reading and sermon this morning. As we gather here, we will again next week hold two services, assuming the weather is nice. 9:30 a.m. will be our morning worship service outside, and 11 a.m. in the sanctuary. But another worship opportunity that takes place today is our community Thanksgiving service. This is an annual tradition here in Elon, with the Elon churches gathering together for worship during the Thanksgiving season. However, in the midst of COVID, we have to do things a little bit differently. So this year, our community Thanksgiving service will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at First United Methodist Church of Elon. Now, the service is a drive-in worship time. It is a drive-in worship, so our churches can gather and not be constrained by the limitations of sometimes worshiping inside has been with large groups. But it will be in the parking lot at 2 p.m. at First United Methodist Church of Elon. Bring a chair with you, and you can sit in your car and listen on the radio in the parking lot, or you can bring a chair with you and just sit outside and enjoy the weather the Lord has blessed us with today. Pastor Steve Reagan, who is the pastor at Shallowford Christian Church, will be bringing the sermon this afternoon. We look forward to him being led by the Spirit this morning, this afternoon. I also want to remind you that we are going to be collecting a canned food offering as our offering for this service. It is to support the Salvation Army of Alamance County. So if you bring the complaint to come to that service at 2 o'clock, bring a bag of canned food with you. You'll drop that off basically as you pull into the parking lot. And again, it should be a wonderful time of worship this day. Our plan is to hopefully do it virtually also by Facebook Live this afternoon at 2 p.m. You can go into our church Facebook page, and hopefully it will be there as well. We're praying that works out, but it should be a wonderful time of worship this afternoon with our fellow Christians in the community of Elon. This Wednesday, I do want to remind you about our Bible study we have at 6:30 p.m. every Wednesday night. This week, we're continuing our Here Comes the Judge series, and we're nearing an end. This week and next week will be our last two studies in the book of Judges. This week we'll be looking at three of the minor judges and the last major judge, which is Samson. So, if you want to join us, go to our Facebook page at 6:30 on Wednesday night, and go to our website and see the other studies that we've done up to this point. But if you want to kind of find out where we've been, if you haven't been able to join us yet, also there's an opportunity there for other studies that will be coming up in the near future as well. Also, just another thing, reminder that's taking place this week. On Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., so 4-hour time period, we are having a crafty bake sale in our church parking lot. It'll be upstairs. Leslie Cornell is kind of heading this event up, and some of you may be making items for this event. This is to help support our fundraising for the church parking lot. So if you are bringing items and you can't stay that Saturday, Leslie was asking if you could bring them early, you could bring them on Friday, or bring them as early as 8:30 on Saturday morning. That's when she'll start setting up. She is looking for people to come and help her as well. But also, if you're not making an item for this event, come and participate by maybe buying an item. And this will be used for Thanksgiving, it will be used for Christmas, and maybe a great opportunity to buy Christmas presents for your family and friends, loved ones, and it will be a wonderful opportunity to support the church as well. So that will be Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., weather permitting. We're praying it's nice upstairs in the upper parking lot. Also, next Sunday, we will have our two worship services like we normally do. Our 11 o'clock service will be on Facebook Live. We have some special things that will be taking place at a couple of those services. At both services, I want to remind you that we will be serving communion as we did a couple months ago. If you're planning to watch by Facebook live the service next week. We want to encourage you to come by the church this week to pick up the elements so you can have them at home when it comes time for the worship service. If you're coming to our worship service inside or outside, those elements we spread to you, given to you that morning. So don't worry about picking those up if you plan on being here next week. But come by the church office from 8:30 to 4 o'clock Monday through Thursday this week if you know that you will not be able to be here in person, so you can participate in communion with us next week. Next Sunday as well, we have a blessing that Carson and Laura Fushi, CBF missionaries to Japan, a couple that we have loved, their daughter as well, we've loved for many years, and we've supported them. They will be coming to the outside worship service at 9:30 next Sunday morning to sign the Encourager Church Covenant. This is a covenant that our church voted on earlier this year, but we've done in the past, where we seek to promise support for them, both financially and prayerfully, through the coming years. Carson and Laura are excited. They got news just this couple weeks ago that they're going to be able to go back to Japan. They're working on the paperwork and getting everything organized. They're hoping to go back before the end of the year. So they're excited about this opportunity. They're going to be with us next Sunday morning, just at the outside service at 9:30 to sign the covenant. So if you want to come to be a part of that service, that will be at 9:30 at the drive-in worship service. They'll also be sharing about their plans coming up in the near future. Last but not least, after the outside worship service next Sunday at 10:30, we will be having a special call business meeting. It's going to be real brief, end of the worship service. And basically all we're voting on is, the one item we're voting on is adding a new line item in the church budget, the church special funds, to accumulate the funds that we receive, the donations we receive about the parking lot. We'll vote on that next Sunday. It has to be a votable item by the church, so we'll vote on that next Sunday at 10:30. So if you're coming to the inside worship service, I encourage you to maybe come a little bit early. Come to just the end part at 10:30 to be a part of that special call roundtable meeting. We'll also be sharing the names of the individuals that will be serving on that ad hoc team that will be helping in fundraising and approaching the parking lot project that we have hopefully coming up. And so those names will be announced at that roundtable meeting. It's not a votable item, but we just want to share with you who those individuals will be. Lots of things coming up next Sunday, but we've gathered here this day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's prepare to be moved by the Spirit this morning.
Philippians 4:4 tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say again, rejoice." Let's stand and worship together. Rejoice the Lord.
Thank you.
Psalm 78. We read verses 1 through 7 this morning. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their generation. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. As we reflect on how God has impacted us for many generations and for many generations to come, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning, giving him thanks for his ever presence with us. Let us pray. We worship you, O Heavenly Father, as the one in whom we have placed our hope and trust. We share the desires of your people of old to tell of the blessings you have effected in our lives. When we think about the greatest blessing that you have given us, Jesus, the gift of yourself in human flesh, we joyfully acknowledge that our hope should only lie in you. We choose to serve you because you chose to touch our lives so graciously in Christ. May our faithful witness today in our worship service this day and the service of our lives reveal the depth of your love and gratitude. Heavenly Father, we praise and adore you. In Jesus' name, our Christ, our Lord, this day. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And while we're singing this song, think about, do you have a story to tell? This song is about telling stories and praising God. Think about, what story would you tell to praise your Savior? Let's stand and let's worship together.
Bless
season of Thanksgiving, and as we reflect on that season, I want to look a little bit ahead to our season of Christmas as well. This year, our church will assist the Salvation Army like we have in the past to spread the Christmas cheer with them and to spread the Christmas cheer in our community. This year, we're going to have three different options when it comes to sharing help assisting with the Salvation Army. The first option is what we did the last couple years in having our Salvation Army Angel Tree. As for those that are gathered here this morning, you saw that as you came in, the church foyer that was down the hallway. We actually had a church member come by this week and they said, "You're decorating for Christmas already?" I said, "Well, yeah, we have to in advance a little bit. We don't want to forget Thanksgiving, but we have to focus on the opportunity to help." So this year, we do have angels on our tree. Those angels represent a child and has a list of items that they're desiring or wishing for Christmas. We only have 10 angels this year on our tree because we're going to help in a couple of different ways as well. But if you feel called to take one of those angels and assist Salvation Army through the angel tree, you can do that. You can pick one up as you leave today, or you can come by the church this week or the weeks ahead to pick those items up. Pick those that sheet up, that card up, and go purchase those items. The items that you buy for the angel tree are due on Sunday, December 6th. Another way we'll be assisting the Salvation Army is what's called the Forgotten Angels. Many times there are many children that do not get chosen each year for Christmas from the angel tree. And usually it's children between the ages of 9 and 12. Everybody likes to buy items for young children, but the 9 and 12 sometimes are forgotten. So this year, on Sunday, December 6th, the same Sunday that those items are due back for the angel tree up there, that Sunday we will be doing a collection as a part of our morning worship service, outside, inside, both. Similar to what we've done in the past with Orange County Prison Ministry, unfortunately, this year we're unable to support them because of COVID. They're not having that toy gathering for the prisoners. So this year we're going to do basically the exact same thing on Sunday, December 6th. But they're requesting you bring items that fit that 9 to 12 age bracket. There's a list on the table you can pick up this morning. It got emailed out earlier this week with items that they're suggesting for this age. Bring those items on Sunday, December 6th, to support the Salvation Army Forgotten Angel. The last way that may be a way that you choose to help is the Salvation Army also assists with senior adults in our community. Senior adults who may not have some of the means to meet the ends or they're kind of isolated in the community right now. What they do is each Christmas they will collect, or they'll purchase $40 gift cards to stores in the community, Walmart, Target, some of those odd places that have lots of different things. And they will provide this gift card to seniors during the Christmas season. If you don't feel comfortable going out and purchasing items like you have in the past, or you're unable to be with us on that Sunday, December 6th, to bring an item as well, you may choose to give financially to support the senior ministry of Salvation Army. If you want to donate $40, that is great. You can put it in an envelope or make a designation on your envelope each week. You can bring that money by the church in the coming weeks, and we will turn those funds over to Salvation Army so they can purchase as many senior adult gift cards as you can. If you want to know you're going to support one, $40. If you can't go $40, that's okay. Whatever you can give, they will take and use to support seniors in our community. Just three individual and different ways that we can support individuals in our community this Christmas season through the Salvation Army. Now, as we turn our attention to a time of our service where we reflect on the gifts that God has blessed us with and returning a portion of those during our offering time, many of you left offering in the plates as you come this morning. If you're at home, you can send that, your offerings by mail each week. But as we reflect on the blessings God has given us and returning a portion of those, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord of wisdom, we faithfully believe in the promise of your Heavenly Father. Yet sometimes we allow our personal living to determine our personal giving. Enable us to be generous. generous givers this day, whose giving is not controlled by our own personal wants. Awaken our spirit to the knowledge that we have a limited time to give to your ministries. Father God, may you take these offerings that we share with you this morning. May we build the kingdom of God here on earth. Take these offerings, bless them, and multiply them. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
As we prepare to sing our special music today, we would be remiss as a church if we don't make acknowledgement of the fact that this coming Wednesday is Veterans Day. At 11 o'clock on the 11th day of the 11th month is the time set for that. Does everybody know the reason for that? Does everybody remember why we do that at that day and that time? It's Armistice Day. It's the end of official fighting in World War I. Armistice Day was renamed in 1954 to Veterans Day. And so this morning was a little bit difficult when we're out in the parking lot. You can't really see who's there. You're asking people to stand or honk their horns or wave out the window. But what we would ask now is that those that are here and can, if you are or were an active member of any branch of the military service or the family member, the parent, the child, the spouse of a veteran, that you stand so that we can recognize you, if we have any here or not. For those listening at home, I hope you will recognize that we honor you as well for the service that you have given. We recognize that service to this country is not just about the individual, but their entire support group, the family that cares for them as they care for us. So we do want to take a moment and acknowledge, even if there's no one here, for those that are at home, that we appreciate you. So as we go to sing, the song was selected. That first and foremost, we pray honors God, but secondly, in honor of those who serve so that.
Oh, God, oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
worship this day and time of singing and recognition of our veterans this morning. As we reflect on what God has done for us this week and what God is going to do for us in the coming weeks, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we just ask that your Spirit moves in us, through us, among us this day, so we may hear what you want us to hear. May we be moved by you in ways that maybe we weren't expecting this day. But know as we leave this place today, we go changed because of you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to extend a welcome to those of you that are here in person, for those on Facebook Live who may have joined us a little bit late. It is good to gather for worship this morning. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day, a wonderful opportunity to worship this morning outside, our worship here in the sanctuary, and we look forward to the time of gathering this afternoon with our fellow Elon churches for our Thanksgiving service. As we have gathered this morning, we do want to express our deepest gratitude on behalf of the church for all our veterans, for all those who've given of their time, their energy, their sacrifice to keep us safe, to serve not just our country, but each one of us individually. I think sometimes we forget that. But they serve us individually, not just the nation, but each of us. And we give you thanks this day for that sacrifice. And that sacrificial love that our veterans have shown recently, right now, in the past, is something that we're going to touch on this morning in our time of worship this day, as we think about that sacrificial love and what it means and what it speaks to in the midst of trying to find unity in diversity. You remember 2 weeks ago I started a sermon series, Unity and Diversity, and I was looking at, and in the midst of everything that's going on in our world, in our country, maybe in our lives, in the midst of everything going on, we need to be united in Christ. 2 weeks ago, I shared how we need to start looking at the world with not our limited set of human eyes, but look at the world as God sees it. Instead of seeing division, which is what we see, what the world oftentimes thrusts on us, he sees diversity. Diversity as he intended it, made with his own hands in the image of God. In the midst of this diversity, maybe that's what we should be focusing on as Christians. Last week, I talked about the importance of getting past the labels that are oftentimes placed on our lives, whether by someone else or even ourselves, that those us and them that separate us from each other, that moving past those categories through Christ and in Christ can bring us together in unity. Instead, our identity above all else is in Christ Jesus our Lord, an identity of each one of us can claim, superseding all those human labels of the world. But the last 2 weeks I've talked a lot about how we're supposed to approach the world, our perspective on the world through the eyes of God. This week I'm going to give you another challenge. It's an action plan. It's the step, it's the next step that comes after seeing the world in the midst of all its diversity and getting past those labels. We have to do something. It's just not about what we see, but it's how we approach the world and how we change it. This morning we'll talk about that action plan this morning. But before I do that, I want to share a story with you that I came across, and it's just a powerful story about sacrificial love. There was, during World War II, a group of American soldiers who were fighting in France. As they were fighting in France, one of their soldiers, one of their dear friends, died in battle. The friends, caring and loving for this soldier, wanted to bury him as any good soldier would want to at a Christian burial. And, you know, they said, okay, we need to find somewhere to bury him over here. Soon they found a church. It had a fence outside. It had a cemetery outside, but there was a barbed wire fence around that cemetery because of the war taking place. The friends, seeing the cemetery, said, maybe we can get him buried there. So they knocked on the door of the church, and a priest showed up, and they said, "Can we please bury our friend, our soldier, in this cemetery?" The priest said, "Is he Catholic?" "No," they replied. "Well, I'm sorry then. He cannot be buried in the cemetery because this is a Catholic church cemetery." The friends were disheartened. They were sad. And it was getting dark, and so they said, "We've got to find somewhere where to bury our friend." So just outside that fence, outside that cemetery, they buried their friend as it got dark. With a heavy heart, they left him there. They went back to their bunker, and they slept. But the next morning, before the soldiers, their troops, their station was about to move on to a different location, they said, "We need to go one more time to remember our friend and honor him." So they traveled back to that church, that cemetery plot right outside the fence. They looked for the burial plot of where they had buried the friend. They looked and they said, "We can't find it. We don't know where it is." And they said, "Well, it was dark that night. Let's search a little bit more." And they began searching, and they could not find the burial plot for their friend. The priest inside saw them looking, and he came outside. And the friend said, "Can you help us find our friend where he buried him? We know it was around here, but we cannot find him." And the priest said, "Well, last night, for the first part of the night, when I looked out the window and I saw you digging this grave for your friend, I felt sorry for what I had told you. So, after you left, after you went back to the base, to the troops, for the second part of the night, I spent moving the barbed wire fence around our cemetery so your friend would be included on the inside." As we strive for unity in diversity, we must be willing to move the fences in our lives, the fences that we put around ourselves, the fences that are put around us by the world, to include everyone. Nobody is excluded from the love of Christ. Nobody is excluded. Nobody's stuck on the fence outside of things. As we think about achieving this harmony in this world in which we live in, and seeking that unity and embracing it, we've got to remember it's the acts of selfless, sacrificial love that is the answer to this world. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to read two verses today. The first verse, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. That's the first verse we're going to look at this morning. And a little bit later on, we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 12. And as we look at these two verses, they give us two key characteristics that we need to dwell on, live in, and live out in the world. However, you know, to achieve this harmony, the world makes love complicated. We need to make it straightforward and uncomplicated, centering our focus on these two simple characteristics. The first thing we need to remember is this: to achieve unity in diversity, if we're seeking to live in harmony with everyone, we must love each other with sincerity and a selfless love. Sincere, selfless, from the heart. Reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." You see, in this letter to the early church, Peter is writing to his fellow believers about the importance of staying obedient to Christ and the call that he puts on every one of our lives. So you see, they were living in the midst of a diverse community like we are, living in the Roman Empire. It was diverse, and early Christians had to both understand the culture in which they were living in, but while at the same time living and understanding what it means to be a follower of Christ. You see, to be obedient to Christ, whose way of life and faith run contrary to the world's view, we need to understand the world in which we live in. Now, another approach that God doesn't tell us to do is this. We can isolate ourselves from the world. We've kind of come to this in the COVID world, that we can isolate ourselves. You know, that's the easy thing. Easy thing to separate ourselves out, as those early Christians often wanted to do. Not being influenced by the larger community, larger culture, but separating themselves off to protect who they were, to protect our faith, protect our beliefs. What would have happened? What would have happened if that was their approach to the world? The answer is, we would not be here today. If they isolated themselves from the world, the message of love of Christ, love message of Christ, does not get spread. It doesn't go anywhere. That's not what Christ called the church to do. And that's what Peter was saying. Instead, Peter challenges the early church to embrace the act of love in their lives. Not just for those who look like them, think like them, live like them. That's not what it was about. He said, you know, that's the easy thing. That's the easy thing, to love those that are like us. Isn't it easy to love your immediate family? Oftentimes it's easy to love our immediate family. Sometimes it may be a little bit more difficult to love our extended family. But it's easy to love our best friends. See, that's the easy love. But Jesus didn't say stop there. Peter's not saying stop there. However, our Christian love should be shared with absolutely everyone, with sincerity and selflessness. Unfortunately, our busyness of life oftentimes swallows our genuine love for others. Ever caught yourself saying, how are you today? How's the family? I hope you're doing well. How many times do we really mean that? How many times do we go beyond those general statements of insincere compassion and love? Sometimes we stop there because we don't want to go deeper. We don't want to find out what's really going on in someone's life. Sincere love happens when we take the time to be with others. Even in the midst of COVID world, Christ calls us to be with others, to love others. It has to be intentional. It can't be just happenstance. When it happens, dance, we still have to love the same way, but it has to be intentional. We have to be intentional about sharing that love, that sincere, selfless love with everyone. Not just the people we like, but with everyone. We are living in a world where there is people who are hurting and wounded, and they're within walking distance of us. They're within a phone call of us. Those are the individuals that need to feel the love of Christ, that selfless, sincere love that we can share. If we cannot love our family members or the brothers and sisters in Christ in our church, if we can't love them with sincerity, how are we going to even start loving someone else? That's different. Doesn't look like us. How do we do that? How do we do that? We've got to give our time. That's one of the most valuable things in the world. more valuable than money, more valuable than stocks and bonds. It's more valuable than anything. Because guess what? If we don't have time, what can we do with everything else? If we truly love someone else, we've got to give our time intentionally to him, to them, to those, whoever it might be. We also need to find common ground, not to focus on the differences that we often see, but find the common ground. And if you can't find any, guess what? You're both created by God. We all have common ground. We find that common ground and we embrace it. We listen to them, listen to other individuals. We show compassion and care for them. We reach out to them how we need to. We embrace diversity that makes each one of us unique through the hands of God. We become a trusted friend, one of those friends that everybody can count on. If things are great, I'm going to call this friend and let them know. If things are in the dumps, I'm going to call this friend because they're going to pick me up. That's who we're called to be. Not just the people in the church or our family members or our close friends, but that's for everyone. Be that trusted friend. Go the extra mile. I gave the outside worship service a homework assignment. Look up what it means online to go the extra mile. Look at the history behind that statement. It's powerful. It's love. It's sincere love. And the key is to not expect anything in return. That is something that we have forgotten. I'm not loving someone else because they're going to love me back. I'm going to love them in spite of whatever they have feelings towards me. Are you willing to go that far? Are you willing to go that far? To love not based on what I'm going to get in return. Do not let fear of diversity in the world keep us from loving others. Love is risky. It's risky. But guess what? It's worth it. Just ask Christ. Let's love sincerely and selflessly. But that's not all. That's just the beginning of that aspect of love. What else do we need to do? To achieve unity and diversity, in hopes of living in harmony with one another, we must love sacrificially. Sincerely, selflessly, and sacrificially. Because that's how Christ loved us. Turning to that second verse this morning, turning to John chapter 15, verse 12. This is Jesus' words. This is what he says. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Love one another just as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? Jesus was just sharing with his disciples in this passage right before the parable of the vine and the branches, talking about producing fruit. And sometimes we can get lost in the parable, but Jesus is saying this: if you grow in him and grow through him, we absorb some of those characteristics inside of us. And he said, from that growth, we're called to produce fruit in the world. And I'm not talking grapes here. I'm talking about those aspects in our actions and our lives that is evident to the world and how we reach out. As Jesus is telling this to his disciples hundreds of years ago, it speaks to us today. But what is the first thing? What's the first thing that he comes to right after sharing that passage? What is the first fruit that we should be sharing? Hint. It starts with four letters. It starts with an L. It ends in an E. And I've already repeated it about 100 times in my sermon this morning. It's love. It's love. That's the first thing he said. When you make a list in a given week to do things, if you have things to do, and you look at the week and say, man, I've got a lot of things to do, and you start making that list, usually you put at the very one that you've got to get done. Everything else falls after it, but I've got to get this one thing done. You go to the grocery store, and you have items that you must get, but you know, I've got to have this one item. You put that at the top of the list. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's putting love at the top of the list. It is the priority. There's nothing else that comes before love. Because if we love, if we truly love one another, everything else grows outside of it. Now, oftentimes we think of love as that thing that we feel. That lovey-dovey feeling we feel for our significant other. That lovey-dovey feeling we feel for our children sometimes. That lovey-dovey feeling we feel for our grandchildren all the time. But you see, love, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is not talking about a noun. He's talking about love, the verb. Agape love, a verb. It's an action. It's not something that just exists. It's something that we do. We should be loving each other. Agape love. Nothing stops it. Because that's how Christ loved us. While Jesus was talking to his disciples about how they should love each other, and that's what he's talking about in this passage, how they should love each other, it expands beyond that. It expands beyond the borders of that small circle in which we oftentimes enclose ourselves in. That love extends beyond it. The only way we can embrace the world with love, leading to hopefully harmony and unity in our living in the diverse world, the only way we can do that is reflecting that same love that Christ showed us. It's sacrifice. It's sacrificially. Because when we think about the love Christ has for us, the first thing we usually think about is the cross. We think about what he did on the cross. And when we think about that, that's our first idea that jumps in our mind when we think, how does Jesus love me? The cross. That was sacrifice. And you know what? It wasn't just for you and just for me. It was absolutely for everyone. Now, we're aware of it. We know it in our lives. We wouldn't be here if we didn't know that. But what about those who don't know? What about those individuals in the world that haven't experienced the sacrificial love of Christ? Guess who it has to come through? It has to come through us. It has to come through you and me. In every aspect of our lives, it needs to come from us. The vine and the branches, remember? As Christians in the world today, we must remember that we did not choose Jesus. Jesus chose us. Every single one of us. If Jesus chose each and every one of us, there is nobody in this world that we should not love. When he sacrificed his life on the cross, he chose all of us. He thought of you. He thought of me. He thought of everyone. It was not because of who we are. Because we didn't deserve it. It's because of who he is. And we've got to remember that as we take that love into the world. It's not because of who we are. Well, I'm going to love somebody because it makes me feel good. Because it's the right thing to do. We love in spite of what the world might show. Or what this world might reflect. Jesus didn't go on the cross and say, you know what? I'm the guy for absolutely everybody but David. Because, you know what? He sometimes doesn't do what he's supposed to do. I try to talk to him and lead him to do the right thing. And sometimes he completely ignores me. So when I die on the cross, I'm not going to die for David because he doesn't deserve it. None of us deserved it. But he did it anyway. That sacrifice. That's what we're called to take to the world. Whether the world deserves it or not, they do. Look at the cross. But whether they deserve it or not, that's how we're supposed to love. We are sacrificing. extend our walls towards. Because that's what he did. This kind of sacrificial love means standing in the gap for others. If they don't know how to get to the cross, we should be in between, ushering them, walking them towards it. And how do you do that? It's through sacrificial love for everyone. I have seen so much this week of non-sacrificial love. It's love for self. It's love for who I think of, who I identify with. That's all I've seen this week, and it's been racking my mind, and probably has been yours as well. It's just been eating at you inside. We've got to get past that. We've got to get what Christ did, and that's sacrificial love. Despite a world that doesn't really deserve it. But guess what? We embrace it. We carry it out. That's what we're called to do. We can't let anything else get in the way of us doing that. It may make us feel uncomfortable. That's okay. Sacrifice. We're talking about radical, head-turning, heart-warming, hand-reaching, jaw-dropping, never-give-up, barrier-breaking, always ready to help, sacrificial love. That's what he did. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. And what is the result? What is the result when we love sacrificially as Christ did? More people come to Christ. More people are able to embrace that love. And then all of a sudden we start coming together. One family. I'm not talking genetics here. One family. One body. Through one uniting force, Jesus Christ our Lord. So I ask you this morning, are you ready to sincerely love one another, sacrificially, increasing harmony in the world? Is that what you're contributing to? Or are you contributing to something else? Are you willing to strive for unity in diversity by showing the world what Christ's love looks like? Love is allowing your life to be complicated by someone else. Someone who's different from you and someone who's like you. And we live in a complicated world, but we have the answer to that complication. It's love. It's love. Let's work side by side. Instead of facing across each other in opposition, let's work side by side, forgiving others, accepting all of who they are, being patient with them, building each other up, encouraging one another, carrying others' burdens on our backs, welcoming all into the family of God, all through the love of Christ. Sacrificially. Selflessly, sincerely. This morning I ask our congregation, but I ask you individually, are you willing to move the fence that is around you or around us? Are you willing to move that fence to include everyone? If you are, you know how you start? By loving. As Christ loved us. Let's pray. Father, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve that sacrificial love, that selfless love, that sincere love that you've given to us. On a daily basis, not just what Jesus did on the cross, but on a daily basis. We don't deserve it, but guess what? You love us anyway. May we use that as a model as we go into the world, seeking to find unity and diversity, seeking to find harmony in our living. And it all starts with the model that you showed us so many years ago, and that you reveal to us every single day. It is through your love. Father, may we embrace that take it as a challenge, and take it to the world. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to that time in our worship service where we sing and we reflect on maybe God has spoken to us through our music and through a sermon or a scripture reading or a prayer, maybe God has been moving in your heart in a new way. Maybe you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'll be down front to welcome anybody who's here in our sanctuary with us. For those that are watching at home, as I say each week, if this is the first time you've really experienced and grasped how Christ's love works for you, I encourage you to call the church this week. Email me. Find our information on our website, www.fbc-elon.org. Contact us. Let me talk to you about it. Let me meet with you about it and talk about what that love looks like. Or maybe today you're looking for a community, a group of individuals who are seeking to carry the love of Christ beyond our walls into the world. If you're looking for a church home, maybe this is the home for you. We'll embrace you with open arms. We'll work side by side sharing that love with everyone. Or maybe today you realize in your life maybe we got swept up in everything going on in the last couple weeks, the months, the years, or who knows. Maybe today you've realized, you know what? You know, there's an area in my life that I haven't been sharing that love out of. Maybe I've had that fence up around me. Maybe somebody put it there, or maybe I put it up there myself. And if today you realize that, as I say every Sunday, the altar is always open. Take it to God. Give it to Him. And guess what? He will love through you. I'll pray with you if you come down front as well. But today is the day to start loving everyone, everywhere, sincerely, selflessly, and sacrificially. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn. I'll be down front if you want to come down. Let's sing. Called to do. Go in peace.